Thank you. Thank you very, very much, my very good friend, Nathaniel DeLew, my friend Nate. May I very promptly and appropriately acknowledge the splendid work of your chairman today, Marvin Gertesmeyer. Marvin's done such an amazing job of bringing this program together with all of his associates, and we salute him. And our special thanks to Donald Skinner that came here today for these dedication ceremonies, representing a friend of mine, Johnny Mahon, who is one that's well known by many of you here, particularly those of the veterans organizations. Mrs. Aubin, we were moved and touched by your poem and your gallantry representing the Gold Star Mothers. And Reverend clergy and the members of the Organizations of American Veterans. And a special salute to the band, Lincoln High School in Bloomington. They have done such a good job, and I think they deserve a hand of acknowledgement and thanks. We have on the platform here one of the Medal of Honor winners from Duluth, Mike Colillo. I'm sure, Mike, I didn't pronounce your name entirely adequate and appropriately, but we salute you and honor you. And may I say how much I am honored to share in these proceedings. What a beautiful day. And it is all that we could have hoped for. Our prayers indeed have been answered. And it is a day also, may I say, of commemoration. The Fort Snelling National Cemetery is a great tribute to this state. It's one of the areas of unique beauty, of quiet, of honor, and of grace. We're so fortunate that it is kept in such wonderful condition. And to those that make that possible, may I, as a fellow citizen, just express our profound thanks. I'm privileged here today to represent the Minnesota Congressional Delegation, because we are talking indeed about the Congressional Medal of Honor. The ceremonies that have proceeded thus far have been with such incredible distinction, the wreaths that have been placed in acknowledgement of the valiant service, the gallantry, the bravery of those who have been honored by the highest citation of our government. We stand here, thank God, in a year of peace for the American people. The thunder and the tumult of war seem far behind us today, here along the quiet of the river, here in this beautiful place of dedication and memory. But while we have the leisure to remember harder times, may I say we do not have the luxury to forget. To forget that peace is always hard earned, and that the security of our people has been bought with the blood of our soldiers since the turbulent birth of our nation. Of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, three-fourths of them lost their lives or their sons, the lives of their sons or members of their families. They pledged, as you may recall, their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor to the freedom and independence of the American people. And they gave their full measure of honor. Many of them gave all of their treasure, their homes and their property destroyed. And over a majority gave the lives of some of their loved ones. So we do not have the luxury to forget that the liberty and the independence and the freedom that we enjoy, the safe conduct of our daily lives, and yes, the solid ground upon which we stand and we walk, have been vouchsafed for us over the years by American servicemen. He may have been crouched in a gully with his musket in 1776 as the Redcoats attacked, or he may have lain in a foxhole in France, or in the trenches where the enemy stood entrenched before him, or he may have fought on those cold and snow-swept mountains and hills in the cold of winter in Korea, or the rice paddies of Vietnam. But wherever he was, and however he served, he was part of the sacred tradition born by the citizenry who ever shouldered arms to keep this nation free. And we are here today to recall and pay honor to that tradition. And we are here especially to honor those who spent their full energy and their very lives to preserve our union, our freedom, our way of life, and the glorious vision of which this nation was founded 2 centuries ago. That vision of a free people graced by the gifts of life and of liberty and the pursuit of happiness as the gift of God Almighty to mankind. All of this still illumines our course in this historic year, and we will continue to do so undiminished from generation to generation. But we also have another honorable task here today. We have the privilege to dedicate a portion of this ground to those who distinguish themselves, whose bravery and selfless devotion beyond the call of duty has been so great that the entire nation has taken note and speaking and acting through their elected representatives, the people have appropriately honored those who have died in battle and have demonstrated such heroism and gallantry. As has been said from this place today, the Congressional Medal of Honor, the highest honor in the gift of the American people, is not awarded lightly, nor should it ever be. It is the award of a grateful people bestowed upon those whom we are proud to know and call American heroes. The fighting men of this nation have always been brave, and they have never failed to give of their best in any challenge. And the American people, in their wisdom, have devised suitable awards and appropriate decorations to commemorate their deeds. But as we know, one award above all is reserved for nothing less than the most heroic effort a serviceman is capable of. It is reserved for those acts which not only display a conspicuous valor, but are performed at the risk of life beyond even what his duty demands. So extraordinary are the sacrifices which this medal honors, and so stringent are the criteria for consideration, that barely more than a handful, as have been noted here, have been awarded in the 104 years that the decoration has been in existence. Because the Medal of Honor represents the highest standards which our armed forces are capable of achieving, and because it stands alone as a tribute to the fighting spirit of the greatest democracy on the face of the earth, we must never allow its recipients to be forgotten. And that is why ceremonies such as this, the one that we have here today, are not mere exercises, nor mere formalities or routine observances. They are instead living proof that even in the most comfortable of times of peace, this nation remembers that those who cut their lives short so that ours may be prolonged and more prosperous, those who gave up their most precious possession of life itself so that we might keep our liberty and endure it, to those who came after us. What a gift, what a sacrifice. Freedom, and it needs to be talked of in these historic days, is man-made. Remember, our Declaration of Independence was man-made. And it sent reverberations throughout the entire world. The first proclamation by mankind of self-government. The first affirmation of the God-given rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. The first recitation of the right of people to petition for redress of their grievances. All of this, a part of American history. This we know underscores what I've said, that freedom is man-made, and like any other work of human beings, its future is never secure. Like any other creation of men and women, it is never finished once and for all. After all, the story of democracy is the story of beginnings. Beginnings with imperfections. And may I remind you today, as I have these few moments, when there seems to be, according to some, a spirit of skepticism and cynicism abroad in this land, that if we but review the history of our republic, we have learned from experience. We have grown strong even from trouble. We have become better even as we experienced the worst that was in us. So let us have good faith and confidence. Let us remember once what Winston Churchill said of democracy. And maybe this is most appropriate in the presence of young people. Because we expect so much, and sometimes we forget that governments are human institutions and therefore are subject to all the human weakness. Winston Churchill said of democracy, "Democracy is the worst possible form of government, except all others that have been tried from time to time." He put it in perspective. He reminded us that ours is not perfection, but it is the search for perfection, the pursuit of happiness. We live, whether we like it, my fellow Americans, in a very uncertain and tense world, with the ever-present threat of armed conflict. How I wish it were not true, but it is. And when one generation keeps our freedom safe in their lifetime, they do not esteem that the work is finished, but only pass it on to the next generation to be protected and nourished in sacred trust. The defense of our country is the highest priority of government and of the citizenry. The Armed Forces Day, which is a day that we commemorate, reminds us that eternal vigilance is indeed the price of liberty. To be prepared, to be strong, and to be secure in our military power is a responsibility and a duty second to none. It is the first priority of organized society and government. Peace is our goal, and every person that has given his life, his or her life in combat, did it not only for victory, but ultimately for peace. And many of our installations, military installations, which I've been privileged to visit as your senator and once as your vice president, I would see the sign as we would come into that installation that would read like this: peace through strength. And indeed, it requires strength to have peace. Strength of character, strength of purpose. It also requires the power and the preparedness of the armed forces of this republic. And remember that the world, so much of it, depends upon us not to do everything for everybody, but to be leaders and to give leadership to the cause of free peoples. Therefore, peace through strength, the power of our armed forces, the productivity of our economy, the education of our people, the health of our communities, and ultimately the faith and confidence of our people. Trust, faith, confidence. These all added together represent the true power of America. And today, as we sit here and stand here in this island of dedication, the Fort Snelling National Cemetery, let us remember that there are years yet to be lived, a future that lies ahead. And every gravestone here, every marker, represents the ultimate and the total contribution of one of our fellow Americans at some time in the history of this republic to better days yet to be lived. For us to forget that would make us unworthy of being free people. For us to remember it is to assure that in days to come, that the goal of peace can be ours. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Senator Hubert H. Humphrey.